This question arises. For those of us with a Western scientific background, some of the more metaphysical teachings of the Buddha's teachings, such as rebirth, are hard to make sense of. And even from the perspective of the teaching on anatta, rebirth is hard to make sense of. Please, could you give advice on how to relate to those parts of the teachings that seem to require belief in things we cannot know for ourselves, and also the parts of the teachings that we plain just don't understand? I would say that the simple and most direct answer to your question is to learn how to engage the paradox or the dilemma. You talk about having a Western scientific background. Well, it's basic good science to be able to acknowledge that when we don't know, we don't know. To assume that we should know is getting ahead of ourselves. To be interested in knowing is fine. To want to feel sure is fine. To demand to feel sure is to create suffering. So the dilemma is that with regards to teachings that the Buddha and the great teachers have given us on rebirth and the law of karma, probably we can't see them directly for ourselves. However, to dismiss them is unfortunate. The Buddha did indeed caution against dismissing these aspects of the teachings. And the approach I would encourage then is to value the dilemma, to welcome the dilemma, because the pressure that builds up can be functional. It can help us develop, it can help us grow, can help us go deeper. On one side, wanting to understand the teachings. What did the Buddha really mean by rebirth? What did he really mean by that? Wanting to know is fine. However, if we cling to wanting to know, and that's not just a concept, clinging is a contraction of the heart of awareness, it's a dynamic, it's something we're doing. It's affecting our relationship to that movement that we call desire. So wanting to know, wanting to feel sure, wanting to understand the law of rebirth is fine. If we cling to it, then we generate the fear of not knowing. The fear of capitulation, the fear of abdication, the fear of betraying our commitment to certainty. If our commitment to certainty means we're clinging to the desire to be certain, well, then we can't avoid the fear of being uncertain. And if that seems to be the case, and for this questioner, we are indeed clinging to wanting to be sure and are presumably experiencing the fear of being unsure, then we engage that dilemma, not judging it as wrong. This is one of the beautiful things about the possibility of going for refuge to the Buddha, which I describe going for refuge to selfless, just knowing awareness. Welcoming into open-hearted awareness this question, this conundrum, this dilemma, this apparent paradox. I want to understand and I'm afraid of not understanding. Can we allow both impressions to be there at the same time? To really feel wanting to be sure, to really feel the fear of being unsure. This is to be approached experientially, not academically, not conceptually. And likewise with the Buddha's teachings on anatta, it's not a philosophical statement. The Buddha didn't say there's no self. He encouraged inquiring into the experiences we have, saying, is this mine? Is this myself? Is this who I am? Like the feeling of desire. Is this desire to be sure who I am? Is it mine? Well, if it is who I am and it disappears, well, that's not very good. The fact is, there's the desire to be sure, and then there's the knowing of the desire to be sure. The effort we're making in this practice is to allow ourselves to fall back into just knowing, and we're compulsively thinking, we can go, well, who knows? Well, that might be an okay question to ask under certain circumstances, who knows? However, to be compulsively asking that question in our heads is not going to help. In this situation, with this kind of question, I would encourage trusting and simply receiving the dilemma. On one side, we've got, I want to feel certain. On the other side, we've got fear of uncertainty. They go together. Compulsively taking sides is just an unfortunate, unintelligent habit. To be open-hearted, open-minded, again, that's just good science. Part of being open-hearted, open-minded is the ability to acknowledge that we don't know. Most of what science as we know it is investigation into the laws of materiality, earth, air, fire, water and space. Questions about karma and rebirth pertain to the dimension that we refer to as consciousness. Materialists, of course, assume that consciousness arises out of material form. The way I relate to this question is similar to the way that I relate, for instance, to the law of gravity. What is gravity? Well, nobody can say what gravity is. However, we trust that there is this phenomenon because there's evidence of its existence. And so we study it, we familiarize ourselves with the laws of gravity and adjust accordingly. Likewise, with the laws that pertain to the dynamics of consciousness, the wise approach, it seems to me, is not to overthink the situation and try and come to a conceptual formulation of what consciousness is. Rather, listen to what the Buddha and the great teachers have taught us and trust in the laws that pertain to this dimension, that is the laws of consciousness, which for us, we as Buddhists, we refer to as Dhamma. Attaching to the desire to be certain is not good science and not good spirituality. It's not a good approach to life. There's so much of life that is uncertain. The smart approach to life is to develop our faculties so that we can accord with the feeling of uncertainty, and then we can investigate, are we making a problem out of our desire to be certain? There's nothing wrong with the desire to be certain unless we cling to it and demand to be certain, then that's called greed, and that's a poison that pollutes consciousness, that pollutes awareness. If we start to understand this, well, then there's an attitude of humility and modesty can arise, and this corresponds with open-heartedness, open-mindedness. Even dogs can hear more and smell more than we can. And so I personally don't find it difficult to accept that beings who have committed their life to developing their consciousness, to cultivating awareness, know more, see more than we do. To have faith in their teachings, to me, is not abdication at all. That's suitable. It's also suitable, I would suggest, to consider the difference between faith and belief. We do have beliefs. They're concepts that have to do with what's going on in our head, and it's important that we have right beliefs or beliefs that accord with reality. Faith is a heart matter. It's a disposition towards reality. There's much of life that we don't understand for ourselves, so we don't know for ourselves. Choosing to have faith in what could be called true principles or Dhamma is not an avoidance of taking responsibility. Rather, it's a responsible relationship to life. Your question then about how to relate to the parts of the teachings that seem they require belief doesn't have to be a problem unless we're attached to the idea that we have to feel certain. Wanting to feel certain, again, is perfectly understandable. Our relationship to wanting to feel certain determines whether or not that desire is wholesome and constructive, or whether it's going to cause obstructions. So my encouragement would be, don't be afraid of dilemmas. They're a gift. If you really enthusiastically want to know something, like wanting to be sure, and it's causing you suffering to any degree, then it's a direct result of the relationship that you have with desire to be certain. It's clinging. Is there a way of holding that desire more spaciously, more in a more considered way? It's okay to not know, so long as we're interested in knowing. I very much hope that's helpful, and thank you for your question.